Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all tonight. We are continuing in our Proverbs class. We'll be picking up in chapter 2 and verse 5 here in just a second. I believe that's where we left off last time. Really got to start making a mark for myself, but I'm pretty sure it's verse 5 we'll start off with tonight. Been talking about the book of Proverbs. Chapter 2 so far, we've seen Solomon continues writing to his son. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands. He wants his son to obtain godly wisdom, just as Solomon has obtained godly wisdom. We talked about how we get godly wisdom through prayer and through constant study. And now we will pick up in chapter 5. But first, as always, let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in the middle of the week and to break the bread of life together, to open up your word and to study from it. We're thankful for the book of Proverbs. We're thankful for the godly wisdom that you've bestowed upon us through this book, through these writings of your servant Solomon. We're thankful for all that has been transcribed for us so that we may grow in wisdom and understanding and reverence toward you. We pray that you may open our hearts and our minds to the study tonight, that we may learn all that we can from it, that we can apply these things to our lives as we should, that we may better serve you in each and every day of our lives. We're mindful of those who could not be with us this evening. We're mindful of our friends and family and brethren who have been dealing with sickness, those that have been recovering from surgery. We pray that you comfort and be with all these, Lord. We pray that you be with them and heal them, restore their health to them as they trust in you, Lord. We pray that you be with those traveling, continue with them. Those who are traveling for work as well, be with them. Guide them in safety and bring them home safely at the appropriate time. We pray your forgiveness over our sins as we come before you now. Lord, we walk through our day-to-day lives in a crooked world, and we pray that you give us the strength to walk through it and learn how to know how to answer temptation properly. And we pray that you go with us through this study. And we pray all these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. So we pick up in verse 5. Verses 5 through 9 says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path." So he says this after having said what he said about seeking wisdom, asking for wisdom, diligently looking out for it. What's up? Yeah, I'll take one. Thank you. And so this is the result of that. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. This reinforces the thoughts that were seen in the previous verses and shows us the results of doing so. And what do these verses say we receive by seeking godly wisdom? Knowledge and understanding. Understanding the fear of the Lord, finding the knowledge of God. By seeking after godly wisdom, we will come to fully understand the power of God, the plans of God, the providence of God, and so on. We recognize that all things about God that will cause us to glorify, revere, respect, and worship him will be revealed if we seek godly wisdom. Very good. What else? So another thing we could take out of this, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Obtaining wisdom from the ultimate source of wisdom. Again, Godly wisdom is not something that we obtain by listening to worldly men. The ones that the world may think are wise still cannot provide us with godly wisdom. And in fact, many of those who the world finds wise, they don't believe in God. They don't care for what the Bible says. These are the people the world worships as wise, the ones who deny God. And that's backwards to us, brethren. But God, if we go to Him, He is ready and willing to give us wisdom. Anything else? Right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Seek and you will find. I like that. That's the teaching of Jesus. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Same goes for wisdom. We go to God asking for wisdom, we'll find it. We go to an older Christian, asking them for wisdom, we may very well find it. That's another scriptural teaching. The older are to teach the younger. Those of us who are younger, we can look up to and we can ask for advice from the older. And the older should be ready and willing to freely give it, as we're all on the same journey together. Well, we're all on different journeys, but we're all on the same journey, if you know what I mean. Absolutely right. Which leads me to my third point that I had written down about what these verses say we will receive by seeking godly wisdom. I said that abiding by His wisdom will guide us for the rest of our lives. That safety is very well involved in that. And as the verse itself says, He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. And He preserves the way of His saints. Now, I know I've asked this question before, but given the statement, I've got to ask it again. Does this mean we're invincible? Does this mean we can do no wrong? What is meant by this? I believe Johnny touched on it very well. You know, if we trust in God, if we rely on God and allow ourselves to be guided by Him in all things, we know we're on the right path. We know that He is not going to lead us down the path of sinfulness. He is not going to lead us down the path that leads to destruction. He will bring us to understand the things that are good, things that the Lord finds pleasing. And He will lead us down the path that we should go. Anyone else? Any other takeaways? Yes.
We know what God wants.
absolutely right about that. You know, that point makes me think about Calvinism. Who knows anything about Calvinism? A little bit? No, not really. Well said. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And yeah, that's one of the 5 points of TULIP, which is an acronym that describes the five main fallacies. Not to them, but to us, yes. The five pillars of what make up Calvinism. And P in TULIP is perseverance of the saints, which sounds a whole lot like what we just read here. He preserves the way of his saints. People will look at that and say, hey, there it is, scriptural confirmation. But the truth of the matter is, they're completely wrong about that. Perseverance of the saints is essentially the belief that once you have come under that grace, there's no taking you away from that grace. You will always be under that grace. You can do no wrong. It's not scriptural, is it? Protect the paths. Perfect. The path doesn't change. We change. We may think that our way is correct, but it's not the Lord's way. The Lord's way is always going to be the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Very good point. Okay. Moving on to verses 10 and 11. Gives us something to think about regarding personal desire for wisdom. It says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. What is meant by wisdom entering our heart? What do you think is meant by that thought? Because we think of wisdom as more of a mind thing, don't we? You gonna say something? It's more of a heart thing. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely it. And I also take it that it entering our heart means that it means something personally to us. Wisdom's got to mean something to me. I will never get it. I will never pursue it if it doesn't mean something to me. Can you recall times when you weren't wise as you should have been? Absolutely. I know I can. But we ain't got time for that. But I believe the people that we are or try to be now reflects the person we wish we were then. We each probably have certain bits of wisdom that are important to us because it helps us not to return to that old way. Things that keep us to the path, keep us to the straight and narrow. Things that remind us. Even on those days where it's like, I really want this, but I know I shouldn't. Those bits of wisdom don't mean the world to us. Yeah. Okay. That's how it should be. It should be just like that.
It also helps us from overcoming the withdrawal from
that. Mm-hmm. I like that word you use, withdraw. Because we think of withdrawal, we think of those negative symptoms. When we're trying to break an addiction, we have those withdrawals. You ever not drink your coffee in the morning? You coffee drinkers out there? Get a headache from that, don't you? Yep. Yep. That's a good example. But there are definitely plenty of bad examples. Plenty of times where people get so addicted to one thing or another, and it can become all they think about. Did you know it takes 30 days for your brain to rewire itself and fix itself from addiction? You got to be clean 30 days. For a lot of people, that's hard. For a lot of people, after 10 days, it's suffering. But it's suffering we got to endure in order to break the cycle of sin and pursue God. Very good points. What is meant by knowledge being pleasant to the soul? Let's think about it this way. At the end of time, what part of us is being given back to God? Our souls. So while on this earth, one thing that should be very important to our souls is obtaining godly wisdom. Knowing godly wisdom will change our souls. It will help us to become the best version of ourselves. It will drive our souls to want to be with God. Our soul is immortal. No matter where we go, it can be immortal in paradise or it can be immortal in torment. So what are we told will happen if godly wisdom is of personal importance to us, according to this passage? Way to look at it. Good points there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But yes, we're promised we'll be kept and preserved. Again, this does not mean that we are invincible or can do no wrong, but as we pointed to previously, trusting in God, allowing Him to guide, that will make all the difference in our lives. Yes? Okay. Our soul can be at peace knowing that there is forgiveness in God and in Christ Jesus. That knowledge is changing your soul. Knowing that there is a way out of the guilt, a way out of the punishment. And God gives it. That drives our soul to Him, or it should at least. Thank you for that. Okay, verses 12 through 15 shows us a few types of people that the verse says we will be delivered from if we choose to make godly wisdom of personal importance to us. So verses 10 and 11 bleed right into verses 12 through 15 and on to, I think, verse 19, yeah. Because this discretion, this understanding, and being preserved and kept, these are the type of people we will know how to answer or just completely avoid. So verses 12 through 15 of the chapter read, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. And we'll stop there for just a minute. But these all may ring a bell for us with someone we may know, whether that be in work, somebody we went to school with, maybe even somebody in the church or previously in the church, as we'll come to talk about in just a minute. But first of all, the man who speaks perverse things. Anyone know somebody whose language is perverse? They swear like a sailor. Maybe they say dirty, very explicit sexual jokes. Can that have an effect on our language? Yep, absolutely. If you're around it enough, you'll start saying it, or at the very least thinking it. Or maybe you may even start thinking it's funny. Has anyone ever heard the phrase? I'm not going to pick on anybody who said the phrase, but is anybody who knows the phrase? Maybe you've heard somebody say it. Oh, it doesn't bother me. When they hear swearing in music or swearing in a movie. And, you know, we may argue one way or the other about that, but the bottom line is it is going to be locked in there. And we may think that we have a lid on it, and then we stub our toe, scream out some obscenity in pain. Maybe you get cut off in traffic, and you make a sailor want to retire with the way you speak. It happens. We may think we have a lid on it, brethren, but it's better to be away from it than exposed to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, you're good. You bring up a really good point, because we'll start making excuses. Oh, it's not that bad of a word. How about this one? It's in the Bible. You ever read a King James Version of the Bible and see like some of the words that we try not to use are somewhat regularly used in there? It doesn't make it okay, brother. That's the context of, sorry, one sec. It's the context of the scripture that uses the words correctly, not the way the world uses it today. Go ahead. Don't do that. Oof. Makes me think of a Christmas story. Little boy accidentally said an obscenity, and the dad was ready to just tear him up. But that's the one he got it from. Johnny first, and then Martha. We're going to pursue the argument of freedom of speech to its bitter end. And, you know, to Johnny's point, it's very much the culture has changed in the past several years. And anything goes these days, unfortunately. Martha and then Hannah. There you go. To your point. Even in children's media, they'll sneak in, if it's PG, they'll let that one word or two words they're allowed to use in, if they can, or they'll throw in some innuendo goes completely over the head of the children, but we know. Oh, yeah. Needs to be. We cannot tolerate that. We start tolerating it, it's going to change us. Hannah, you have something? Were you finished? All right. I was just going to give you the floor there if you needed another minute. But
that makes sense what Hannah's saying, because it's ever-changing. And
yeah.
Her,
no, I agree.
Her generation is completely different from what I dealt with,
yep,
what Noah Friends Carla dealt with, because it's ever-changing. It flows, just like Hannah said.
Yeah, you're... Yeah.
Go forward, and we have to make our choices for ourselves of what we will tolerate ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I believe we're all right here. Because, yes, society's going to keep changing. And it's not going to be changing for the better, unfortunately. We may be able to pull some people out of the world, show them the way to Christ, but culture, society, it's going to keep going and going in the wrong direction. And, you know, like Johnny said, we got to draw a line somewhere. But for us, we got to have the boundary between us and sin. Yeah. I believe there is a definitive standard to what that is. But culturally speaking,
culturally,
yep. Yes. All right. Anymore. All right. No, it's okay. But good talk, y'all, because we got to recognize that this is the objective standard. Society, culture, it can say whatever it wants. We, on the other hand, we got to abide by this. We got to make sure that we're living as close to this as we can. So, getting back on to Proverbs now. I mean, we'll get back to the next part of the text here, which, those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. I feel like we kind of touched on this a little bit, but do you know of anyone who was a Christian, who had come to church regularly, but ended up leaving it all behind for worldliness. Unfortunately, yes. I remember, I don't get on Facebook much. It's pretty much been abandoned by me. Just leave it alone. It exists only in the cyberspace. But I remember one time I got on several years back, saw somebody a little older than me, Christian, grew up long time in the faith, son of a preacher, and I picked that day to get on there and see he's giant post about renouncing his faith. And that was rough to read. Yeah. It's a scary thing because we recognize the repercussions. They recognize the repercussions. They grew up hearing the repercussions. But the pull of the world, for some, it can be too powerful. And, you know, sometimes it's like the parable of the sower, where seed landed, it sprang up, and then it faded away because it had no root. And then there are others who've grown up in the church, lived their life right, and then all of a sudden do the 180. Either because they grew up, got a sense of freedom from the idea of not being tied down to church, or maybe it's midlife crisis kind of thing. And that is extremely discouraging to see. Any thoughts?
And it's our responsibility as sisters and brothers in Christ to notice those changes, notice that they're not coming on Wednesday night, or that they're going straight out the door the second the bell, you know, not the bell, the sermon's over.
Yeah.
They're out the door before you can even stand up and get your stuff. Okay, why are they not talking to us? So what do they do?
You're absolutely right. We got to be able to read each other's subtle hints. Because you're right. It is not always 180. It will seem like it from your perspective sometimes. But in their life, they're going through something. In their life, they're getting attached to worldliness. Maybe a person of the world. Maybe they have a bad habit. And it's turning into an addiction. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Brethren, that is why we need to be open with one another as a family. We need to be able to let our guard down and trust each other. Because this is not a place where we're having malicious intent toward one another. We all want what's best for each other. We're all trying to get to the same place together. We're trying to get to heaven together. And so, very good point. When we see those little hints, step up and say something. Maybe that'll change them around. Maybe that just enough is enough to bring them back. Very good point. All right, we are out of time, unfortunately, so we will pick up verse 14 next Wednesday. Thank you all for your comments. Good discussion tonight, everyone.